world. All right, welcome back. 32 fans in 32 days. Really like 24 fans. We're not doing every team. We're doing a podcast every single day. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday through Saturday. Although in Chester logic, he said we could take Labor Day weekend off, even though he's been posting podcasts without my permission on Saturdays and Sundays. So like now I have to record extra ones and he's not here. I got to record extra ones because he posted like a Vikings podcast like Saturday at 3 a.m. That's like a real crowd pleaser. And then another one on Sunday, and then he's posting them 7 days a week. So I don't know how I could keep up without adding more people. So my plan was to do like 22. Maybe we'll do like 24. We also have to do our wins over unders pool. We have to do a college football episode. We got a lot to do. But today we have returning champion Cole Hogan, Kansas City Chiefs fan. Cole, how you doing?
Oh, you know, another year, another $10.
Okay, I just got done speaking to the Browns fan and our it's been a long night. It was Browns and, geez, it was like 30 seconds ago. Who did I just speak to? Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So like now it's weird to speak to a guy of like an NFL team. Cole, are you optimistic about Pat Mahomes?
Long term, I would say that I'm optimistic. I don't know about this year. It's, you know, he's a rookie quarterback, and I know a lot of teams have had success, like the Texans up until the injury last year with the rookie quarterbacks, but I don't know. I'm not like, oh, he's going to take the NFL by storm by any means.
Yeah, people, I think, I don't ever remember people getting this excited about one preseason throw like they are about Mahomes right now.
Yeah, I mean, it was a really impressive throw, but at the same time, it was preseason. So I struggle to put too much stock into anything preseason, especially when you're, you know, a first string guy going against first slash second string, you know, talent on the defensive side, especially yeah. When you know there's absolutely no pressure on you. Like if you fuck up and you throw it, you know, to the other team, who cares?
No, I agree. I don't know where this came from. I'd never seen it before. I wanted us to stop. Like, what we used to say, preseason doesn't matter. I feel like with the 24/7 sort of like internet thing, where we just always need something to talk about, preseason for some reason matters like more than ever. A few years ago, maybe like 7-8 years ago, like in the Adrian Peterson, Jamal Charles heyday, they did not take one snap in preseason. They did not play. And I think the quote was like Adrian Peterson's like, oh yeah, Charles can't play in the preseason. He's good. Like he's too good for the preseason. So, Now people
Adrian
are like
Peterson
yelling
will
about
get, it. You think Peterson will get some preseason snaps this year?
I mean, what we haven't spoken about that because we spoke to the Redskins guy before he got signed. But who cares? I mean, there's no way he's still in the NFL in November. He's bad. It doesn't make any sense. Like it would make me, if I'm a Redskins fan, it would make me lose faith in like the front office that they could be so stupid as to think that like a guy who was replacement level year 7 years in a row could ever be. Like, it's just a waste of everyone's time trying to develop.
To be fair, he did get paid replacement level. He got veteran minimum, so.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, he stinks. There's guys 5 years younger than him who are washed up already. I don't understand. I don't know why we're talking about Adrian Peterson. He was never on the Chiefs. He's not on the Chiefs now. But, like, it makes no sense. Like, he's Jamal. If you brought Jamal Charles back today, he'd be just as good as Adrian Peterson is. Doesn't make any sense to me.
Jamal Charles is always the greatest in my heart.
There's nothing really interesting to say about Andy Reid that hasn't been said 100 times. You do have a new coordinator, right? Eric, do you know his Chris Berman nickname, Eric Bieniemy?
I do not know his Chris Berman nickname.
So you're a young man. You don't remember the Chris Berman heyday, but Eric Bieniemy was one of his favorite players.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, it was Eric sleeping with Bieniemy.
Yeah, I can see it. Okay, I'll give him credit for that.
Yeah, so he was your running backs coach for a bunch of years. His only coordinator experience is in Colorado for a couple of years. I don't know if that was when they were bad or when they were atrocious, but are you nervous about that, or is it like such a well-oiled machine with Andy that that's not a concern to you?
I mean, it's never really actually come out how much the offensive coordinator does for Andy. I know after Doug Peterson was hired, Andy Reid was like, oh yeah, he coordinated the last half of the season. He called the plays, but I don't know. That could just be, you know, Reid oiling his gears, getting him a job and all that. Obviously it worked for the Eagles. Shit. But no, I don't think there's really a whole lot of worry with the changing of the offense coordinator, because it's all Andy Reid's system, and Andy Reid's going to call the plays, and Andy Reid's not going to call timeouts, and it's nothing's going to change.
Yeah, so you were like in sixth grade. You were too young to remember this, but Bieniemy, that was the awful Colorado teams under John Embry. They went 3-10, 1-11. So that's his only coordinating experience, was winning four games in the Big 12. I mean, probably none of those games were actually in the Big 12, but winning four games as a Big 12 coach.
Now Kansas wins less than four games, so I'm used to that.
True. I wasn't going to bring it up on air. I was making fun of you before, but I wasn't gonna talk about that on air. The Kansas Jayhawks football team. We pined for the glory days of Mark Mangino to come back. Who is the coach now?
David Beatty. He's a schmuck.
Yeah, nobody knows who that is. He'll be gone soon. All right. So people are talking about how, like, this team, we talk about something on the podcast called 2-53, which is like everyone, if you took away everyone but the quarterback, how do they look? And to me, this is like one of the better teams in the league. Like, if this team had Drew Brees, you'd be talking about the Chiefs being like the equal of the Patriots and maybe the favorite to win the AFC. Because really everywhere you look, in the skill positions, you got Hunt, you have Tyreek, you have Kelsey. At every single skill position, you have a stud. On defense, you have Justin Houston. Chris Jones, not a lot of people know about. Kendall Fuller was an absolute superstar last year, and you traded him for your quarterback. There's just a lot of good players up and down. Eric Berry is probably the most overpaid guy in the league, but like if he's healthy, is still a good player, maybe. I do think that's the worst contract in the NFL. I was looking at it before. It's the worst. It's the worst. You know what it is? It's an NBA contract, because there's no such thing in the NFL as a guy making like $18 million who's not like a star quarterback. So the fact that you're paying
his cap number is only $13 million this year.
Yeah, but I think he's making like $18 or $19 million next year also. He's uncuttable, by the way, next year. He has to be on the roster next year. Or, I mean, you could pay him his full salary not to play if he's that bad, if he's unplayable. But like, he is getting paid to basically be a max player NBA guy, and he's a safety. And there's guys who are just as good as him who are on the waiver wire, because there's safety. They misread that so badly. Now, I'm not just as good as him, but first of all, he's injury prone at this point.
He is injury prone. I can't deny that at all.
But I'm saying it's a position that you should be spending no money on, and you guys are spending more money than anybody on it. So that was a misread by the front office.
I don't think it was a misread. I think it was almost a similar situation to the Colts got backed into with I'm blanking on his name, but the coach that had cancer and came back, and you know, that was who had they got back.
Chuck Strong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Chuck Strong, yeah. You know, mm-hmm. Similar situation to that. I mean, he was outstanding before that, and then he had an unbelievable story where, you know, he gained a pound through chemo. Like, who does that? You know, and then he comes back better than ever, quote-unquote. Mm-hmm. You know, and so then his next year is his contract year. What are you going to do, cut that guy? I mean,
yeah.
I think, and that's actually one of the reasons I think Dorsey's not with the team anymore and is now with the Browns, because he tried to make Barry pay for a clause with insurance contract where he had to pay for the if he ever got cancer or anything, if it ever came back, he mm-hmm. had to pay for the insurance that Yikes. Would pay the team back.
Yikes.
Yeah, PR nightmare.
Not great. Yeah. Have you seen anything from Sammy Watkins? People are like, well, they have Hill and Watkins, that's so exciting, like they're going to be unblockable. Like, no, Hill is unblockable. Why are people excited about Watkins?
You think that Barry has the worst contract in the NFL? I think Watkins is one of the worst. Maybe not the worst, but one of the worst contracts in the NFL.
Can he be a starting NFL player for this team? Can he be a number two receiver?
I sure as shit hope so. Yeah.
Have you seen anything to like make you think that he will be? Because, you know, we haven't seen anything from him in a couple of years that would maybe indicate that.
Well, I think 2 years ago you definitely did. He absolutely torched us in Arrowhead a few years ago when he was with the Bills still. Last year he got signed by the Rams fairly late, you know, right during training camp, if I'm not mistaken. You know, that doesn't excuse his lack of production later in the season, but I think it certainly mm-hmm. creates some sort of an excuse early in the year. I think he definitely is talented. I do not think he's anywhere near worth $20 million next year, $8 million this year, but yeah, I think the contract is absolutely ludicrous.
Yeah. Fantasy question. Are you a fantasy player, first of all?
Yeah, I'm a big fantasy player.
Okay, so But you didn't join our 32 fans, 32 team league that we just started.
I like to be my own type of person here.
No, I'm teasing. You're not even you're in that Facebook group.
I am in the Facebook group.
Oh, okay. Look at you. So so Kareem Hunt got him for a song last year. Started out incredible. His numbers cumulatively are still great, but he really did hit a rookie wall.
Yeah, he did.
Would you he's being picked 6th and 7th, I think 7th basically, behind Saquon and behind Antonio Brown in the top 4 running backs in most standard leagues. Do you think he's going to be have first round production this season?
I think back half the first round. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to take into account that he's an Andy Reid running back. So he's just like Jamal Charles. Jamal Charles is like probably the best or second best back in the NFL, depending on the year with Adrian Peterson and all that. But mm-hmm. even back then, he would get games where he'd only have 8 to 10 to 12 carries, which is absolutely insane.
Yeah,
I think it's going to be more of the same with Hunt, where he's going to be a really good back. He's probably a top 5 back in the NFL, maybe just outside of it, just depending on, you know, different mm-hmm. factors. But Andy Reid probably won't feed him as much as you would like. However, he is still probably the only guy that's going to get the majority of the carries, and not every team is doing that these days, as all fantasy people are aware of. Spencer Ware is there this year, but I don't think he has quite the liftoff and the, you know, get up to speed ability that he used to have before his ACL.
Mm-hmm. So you have not a rookie quarterback, but a first time starter. Are you nervous about the offensive line at all?
I think our offensive line is decent. Our right side of our line is definitely way better than the left side. Fisher's mm-hmm. become serviceable, but Ehinger, or however you pronounce his name, at left guard is a liability at best. Morse should be good at center. DuVernay Tardif at right guard is one of the best guards in the NFL. Yes, it's doctor.
What a bunch of lame wads the NFL are not letting the guy have doctor on his uniform. Come on, guys.
Right?
It only helps the product. Like, oh, that's fun. Like,
yeah.
And by the way, that story came out of nowhere. Like, I almost think it's fake because, like, you didn't read stories for 5 years about him going to med school while he was, like, you did?
Actually, you did if you live in Kansas City. You absolutely did. That was covered pretty much every year.
You mean because it was the first doctor ever?
Well, when he was drafted, it was talked about. And then every offseason, it was talked about how he was going back to school and he had this special deal with his, like, medical school that he could do all of his rotations and stuff.
I want to ask you a question. How disappointed are Mitchell Schwartz's parents?
Let's be honest. Last year, you know what I mean? It was really disappointing.
No, but I'm saying, like, is the other right guy, the other guy on the right side of the offensive line, is a doctor? Like, why can't you be a doctor, Mitchell?
Yeah, well, you know, they also have Jeff Schwartz, who has his own, like, podcast and
mm-hmm.
has all
brother,
that
no?
cool stuff going. Yeah, Jeff Schwartz. He actually played for us for a year, and he was a really good guard as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's flip to the defense. So you have Justin Houston, but I do see a lot of people in Kansas City are still concerned with the pass rush. Do you think this is... You know, in a league where the elite teams are getting to the quarterback constantly, and your division where you have the Broncos who do it, and the Raiders if they have Khalil Mack and the Chargers with Joey Bosa, really it's kind of a nightmare division to play, honestly. Do you see the pass rush as being a strength, a weakness, somewhere in between for the Chiefs this year?
It's probably somewhere in between. Haley was on his last leg last year. Obviously, he's not with the team anymore this year.
Mm-hmm.
No one else has signed him. He was just, you know, he was done. Yeah. D Ford, however, is, I don't know if he's really any better. I mean, he played most of the snaps last year, too. He's literally had one notable game his entire career is against San Diego, either last year or the year before. Mm-hmm. And every other game he's ever played has been completely forgettable. Obviously, Houston is a total stud, but he hasn't played a full season in 2 years. However, this is the first offseason he's been fully healthy in 2 years. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, there is that chance that he could have a bounce back year as well. The middle linebackers should be serviceable. Hitchens we signed from the Cowboys, who, from everything I've read, I don't know a ton about him, but it seems like he's a pretty good inside linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Reggie Ragland, who we traded for from the Bills last year, and the Bills just essentially gave up on him. I think we gave
he's
a seventh rounder
like
for him.
A solid player.
Yeah, he's been great for us. It was just a bad scheme fit for him, it seems like, out in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
I think the biggest liability is on the right side with D Ford. I don't think he's going to be with the team after this year. He was a value player this year for us.
All right. So we were talking, this is only the second AFC West team we've talked about. Chester and I, when we were ranking divisions, I said that the AFC West is the only division in football that I see that there's no chance a Super Bowl champion comes from. Do you agree or disagree with that statement?
This year, I agree with you. Last year, I would have said that we had a shot, but obviously that didn't play out. but no, this year I see the Chiefs. I don't know. Are we going over the schedule later? I don't want to spoil that.
No, we don't have to go game by game. You could talk about it now.
Okay. I mean, I went through the schedule before that we got on here, and I kind of.
By the way, can I add,
because
I forgot to, that the Chiefs are my 13th ranked team and Alex's 13th ranked team. They're tied for 12th in the overall 32 fans ranking.
At least you agree for once. Mm-hmm. I see us as like a 8-8 or 9-7 team this year, and that's with I'm ranking Mahomes as like a middle of the pack quarterback. That's not with him being stellar or him being terrible.
Middle of the pack you'd sign for right now. I mean, look at how middle of the pack nowadays
is
like slightly worse than Matthew Stafford. Like the there's so many good QBs.
I would say that if he's even remotely serviceable, doesn't throw twice as many interceptions as he does touchdowns. Mm-hmm. I think we're a decent chance to go 8-8 just because of the pure talent on the offensive side. I'm actually a little lower on our defense than you are. It sounds like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think our corners are outside of Fuller, who
is
never
old. It's
played.
Kind of an old team, which I feel like there's for some reason always an old team. But
Fuller has never played outside of the slot. He was always a slot corner. In
right.
Washington.
It's weird because he was a superstar, but they played three corners. And you're right. He was a slot guy. He had an incredible year. Though it's not always sustainable. The slot guys, even from game to game, sometimes they could look like an incredible player. And some, it's just a matchup.
Yeah.
I agree. That is, it could be he could be over his head. You do have other guys back there also, though.
Yeah. Well, we have some guys. There's a lot of hot garbage behind him. We're pretty thin in the secondary.
Skandrick's like an NFL player.
Well, 3 years ago at least. I mean, who knows what he is now? But yeah, there's the hope. I mean, I hope he's not a...
So who do you think wins this division?
I think it's probably a pretty even tie between really all four of them. They all have massive holes, but if I had a gun to my head, I would say probably the Raiders and then the Chiefs second. I think the Raiders underplayed themselves.
So you're not buying
themselves.
The Chargers at all. People are starting to talk about the Chargers.
I don't think the Chargers have a great defense. They obviously have a really good offense. And
I mean,
a
they might
have
2 weeks ago, but every single day they lose another person.
Right. I mean, I think that's a legitimate issue right now because, this is, the third year that they've had that or fourth year?
Yeah, it's weird.
I think you
it's
have to,
weird.
Like... And, yeah. They've changed coaching staff. So, did the coaching staffs not change the athletic staff?
I'm a Mets fan, and the Mets had a crazy amount of injuries, and every single person in New York blamed Ray Ramirez, the trainer, and they got rid of him this year, and, their whole team's on the DL. So, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe it's the cursed. Turf and the practice facility? I have no idea. But, something weird is definitely going on out there in Los Angeles now. I guess they got a new practice facility, too, so who knows?
Right, they're not even in the same city, and they still...
Yeah, they're not even in San Diego anymore. But, I don't know. I would say that they have as good of a shot as anyone. Like I said, I think every team has pretty big holes, and it's pretty even across the board. I don't think the AFC West is as top-heavy as it was, 2 or 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say that each team has a chance, but I would put the Raiders with a slight edge with the Chiefs coming in second. I think, having said that, if Mahomes is as good as a lot of people are saying he is, then you certainly put the Chiefs above that. But, saying what I've already said, I would say that we're 8-8, 9-7 team, second in AFC West. If you get super, super, super lucky, then maybe you slip into the sixth seed, but, most years you're probably not in the playoffs.
Uh-huh. All right, so, Cole, we have a listener whose name is Sam. He lives in New Zealand, so we call him Sam from New Zealand. He wants to become an NFL fan. He listens to the podcast, and he needs to pick a team. Now, can you pitch Sam from New Zealand on becoming a Chiefs fan, if you think that's a good idea? You could also try and convince him to not become a Chiefs fan.
Okay. Yeah, well, starting it off, you would not be a bandwagon fan because we're also not a dumpster fire like the Browns.
Yeah.
So you have some entertainment value, whereas you're also not going to be the Seahawks 12-year-old that joined the team from the second that Russell Wilson was drafted. In addition to that, Kansas City is centrally located, so it'd be a good vacation spot. It's not too far. It's not the West Coast, or sorry, the East Coast from New Zealand. And then In addition to that, we have some of the cheapest NFL game ticket prices in the NFL. So you can pay to come here. It's not going to be a super expensive city to stay in if you want.
Well,
to
it would
visit
be expensive for him to get there. I don't think there's anything direct from like Auckland to Kansas City.
You're not wrong, but I'm speaking comparatively to San Francisco.
Sure. So let's see.
Way
this. So the flight, it's like an extra $500 on the flight, but he could save $30 on the ticket. Okay, I got it.
Hey, and Arrowhead is probably, I would put it, top three NFL stadium.
Sure, it would maybe, yeah, no, the stadium thing is definitely cool. That's a good sell, I think. And maybe there's a stadium in New Zealand that's,
you know, my
also
favorite
like
thing about
crowd.
The Chiefs organization, and I, what? You know, I can't say that I've been to a lot of NFL games or any other NFL games, but the Chiefs play, I know, like, a lot of college teams, a lot of NFL teams, they introduce their offensive skill players and all the offensive players, like, in, you know, pregame, as they run out of the tunnel and all that.
Mm-hmm.
The Chiefs have done always the defensive side of the ball, so they always yell out, you know, and have fireballs and everything as the defensive side.
They always introduce the defense?
Yeah, we don't even introduce the offense as they
run most
out
teams
of the tunnel.
Switch off weeks. Like the
no, it's always defense.
That's wild.
Yeah, so I think that's pretty unique. I like that.
All right, I got a question for you. Are you a baseball fan?
I can stomach it. Yeah, I'm a casual baseball fan.
Okay, let me ask you a question. So Pat Mahomes is your quarterback. His dad,
yes,
was a player for one of my favorite teams ever, the 1999
he was a pitcher,
Mets.
Correct.
Correct. Reliever, and then for the Mets, he was a starter. What is his career ERA? What is Pat Mahomes Sr.'s career ERA? He played in parts of 11 seasons in the majors with the Twins, Red Sox, Mets, Rangers, Cubs, and Pirates.
I'm going to guess, because this question is being asked, I'm going to say it's high, so I'll go with 6.5.
Oh, my gosh. Well, see, that ruined it because, you know, it's actually 5.5, 5.47.
Oh, perfect.
What the hell, Pat Mahomes Sr.? How did you play 11 years when you sucked? He even had a winning record, but he had a 1.6 whip. He was actually 8-0.
He's the Adrian Peterson of the MLB.
His best year, 1999, with that special Mets team, 8-0 with a 3.68 ERA. But, man, I didn't realize you sucked.
I mean, even that's not great, if we're being honest.
No, 3.68 in 1999 when Mark McGwire was hitting all those home runs. It was great.
Okay, well, fair enough. I was 5 years old then, so.
Yeah. Oh, boy. All right. You ready for the roster game?
Oh, roster game? Sure, whatever this is.
We've played this 4 times before.
We definitely have not.
Yeah, you pick a number between 0 and 100, and I say name everything you possibly can about this player that you picked.
I've definitely never played this, but
we play
sure.
this every year. Anyway.
Absolutely have not.
Give me a number between 0 and 100. Now I'm going to stump you just for this.
37.
Who's Garrick Dieter? Speaking of baseball. It's okay if you don't know, because he's like not going to make the team or anything, it looks like.
Is he a kicker?
No, he's a wide receiver from Alabama. He was on the practice squad last year, so maybe that's...
Okay, the name, but yeah, no, that was...
It's a fun name. Gary, do you think he's a little guy? I got to look at what he looks like now. I got to get a picture of Gary.
I am positive I've never played that game before. You're wrong.
It's possible. I think it might have always... Yeah, Garrick Dieter looks exactly like I thought he was. He's already 25. He played for Alabama, Bowling Green, and SMU. What did he do in college to get kicked out so many times? Let's see. Let's go to his Wikipedia page. So he starts at SMU. He transfers to Bowling Green, red shirts. Then Alabama just takes random guys from the MAC? What the hell? They had Calvin Ridley.
KU takes random guys from Alabama.
They had Calvin Ridley, Ardarius Stewart, who's about to get cut from the Jets, and O.J. Howard, who I think is overrated. Yeah, and he had 15 catches. So he wasn't good. He was good at Bowling Green. He was not good at Alabama. And you guys signed him last year. He was on the practice squad for a minute, and then now he's probably not going to make the team or the practice squad this year. All right, anyway, that's been our Garrick Dieter update. So you're...
Perfect. I have a question for you. Just speaking on random college former college players, what is your opinion on Last Chance U?
Okay, so I haven't watched the third season yet.
What?
Yeah, I haven't watched. I started it, and then... I had to cancel Netflix because, like, someone kept... I don't know. I had an issue with like someone was like charging money from Netflix on my account, so I canceled it because I wasn't really using it. And so I haven't watched Last Chance U, but I will watch it in the next couple weeks, probably before the football season. I, of course, really like the first two. Can I give you my Last Chance U sort? Oh, because it, why? Are you familiar with that team? Because that's in your area? Is that why you're asking?
No, not. I live in Kansas City. It's not even. I mean, technically, the third season is in Kansas. It's
yeah, it's in Kansas. Kansas, you're but... acting like it's a crazy question. It's like a couple hours from you at most. Anyway.
Okay. Go ahead.
Well, listen, here's my take. The announcers when they play the football games in season one and two are fake. Like, those are Netflix announcers. Those are, there's like, I'm 100% sure, because they're just telling you, like, things that are related to the show. I don't think those guys, I don't think they're cutting the audio from the, like.
Really? You think
I don't think there's announcers for community college football games on the radio either. I don't think. Yeah,
why?
I'm 99%
sure. There were announcers for my high school's, like, video cast. Why wouldn't there be one for.
Well, this is community college. I don't think. I was pretty sure when I was watching the show, and there were reasons why, but I was, and I even, because I'm like a huge nerd, tweeted at the executive producer and like, hey, those announcers are fake, right? And he never responded. But that's that's my take. So I'm going to listen.
Okay.
I don't know if there's new announcers for this independence team that I've only seen the first few scenes of. But why? Do you have it? Was it better or worse than the Mississippi seasons?
I mean, it was probably fair. It was probably equally entertaining. Maybe slightly less than the second season.
The second season was weak.
Show.
Well, I'll tell you why. There was some really good stuff. First of all, first season has the fight, which is incredible television. Like, they must have been pinching themselves. And then the fight really ruins the second season because they're suspended for that game and they lose. So this really has an impact. But in that
can
second
I spoil
season,
a moment of the third season? Like, if
well,
you don't want to hear it, turn
the
off the podcast.
No, I don't want to hear it. I don't. The coach and Miss Tammy are on such bad terms that they don't appear in one scene together in season two. So you have the two stars of the show who basically refuse to be in the same room, and it definitely affected the second season, which is, I think, why they just decided to move on. Plus the coach
she left the school irredeemable.
Well, no, in the whole season, right, she left anyway, that is true. But listen, they could have paid her to stay. That ruined it, that they, like, they were clearly, like, filming scenes in, like, weird ways. So, okay. I don't know why we're still talking about Last Chance U, but what were you going to say?
Okay. Oh, well, in, like, the first episode, towards the end, or maybe in the middle, the coach is just talking about how he's this offensive savant, and he's sitting in his hot tub smoking a cigar, and he's like, I honestly haven't even watched any game film, because I'm just going to go in there, and I'm just going to call plays, and it's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And then the first game, they absolutely got their shit rocked, and it was glorious. It was awesome.
Yeah, that does sound good.
Anyway, continue with whatever we're discussing.
All right, so I think the Chiefs are going to go 8-8. I think they're going to miss the playoffs. You're a little higher on them than me. I think you're saying 9-7.
8-8 or 9-7. I have the very first game at Los Angeles as the the flip flop game.
It's tough because you start with two road games, which you'd think is impossible, but they do have that third game, which you kind of need to win if you're a decent team hosting the Niners. So in LA, and that's the Chargers, LA, you do play
Niners,
you're actually in LA twice this year because you play them you play the Rams on Monday Night Football. You also have that very late bye. Your bye is the week of Thanksgiving.
I
don't know,
late byes for his terms of the team.
Especially if you're a good team, you could, like, rest up for the playoffs. I don't know. I've never seen
you
know. You have Cincy. You have Cleveland on the schedule. You have Denver, obviously, twice. You have the Niners are okay. It's not an easy schedule, but there are some winnable games. The Cardinals are just okay.
The first half is murderous. The second half is significantly easier, though it's not easy.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. After the bye, you have the Raiders twice, the Ravens at home, the Chargers at home, the Seahawks, who might not be in the playoff race anymore. That's like in the last week. I don't know. I to me, this is everything about them is like an 8-8, 9-7 team, but definitely with upside. Not Super Bowl upside, but there is so much talent that it would be silly to really write them off.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with all that. I think that's the first year I've actually agreed with you.
Mm-hmm. Any other segments? Rookie who not pick in the first round, you expect to have a big year. Who do you think is going to be their best rookie outside their first round pick? Who's going to have the most impact?
Well, we didn't have a first-round pick this year. That was Patrick Mahomes last year.
Right. In the meantime, your backup quarterbacks are Chad Henne and Matt McGloin. That's not great.
Well, you know, in terms of backup quarterbacks, I actually really like the Chad Henne backup role.
He's bad. He can't play anymore. He's bad.
No, of course not. But he's a great mentor for Mahomes, and that's what you really want.
I think that stuff's overrated.
You don't think that Alex Smith had a great impression on, you know, in teaching Mahomes last year?
I guess, but Alex Smith's a star. You're talking about a star starter impressing the young backup. This is more of a young starter being, like, tutored by a bad older guy. Like, I'm not sure how it works. I don't know if it's the same thing.
I don't know. I think he definitely has knowledge. Whether or not he has the skill to put it out there, it doesn't mean he's not, you know, a knowledgeable guy.
Maybe he'll become a coach next year. I also like Matt McGloin. It's just a funny name to say, Matt McGloin.
You know what's the funniest about Matt McGloin is I actually thought that he was like the future of the Raiders quarterback. Like, I thought he was their guy when they drafted
him. For like a quarter,
him
he looked
after
like
Pryor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then obviously that ended quickly.
There's also a guy, Algernon Brown, backup fullback. God, I like these names here.
You got in terms Zombo. Of, I mean, I think our second round pick is probably our, you know, our biggest upside guy. He's another outside linebacker. He's Breland Speaks.
Mm-hmm.
Theoretically, he would be replacing D Ford next year.
Breland spoke in class today. All right, yeah, sorry, it's getting late.
But yeah, I honestly don't know a ton about him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not huge into college outside of KU, which doesn't make any sense at all.
Right. No, that makes no sense. It's funny because, I only, like, what's the worst show on TV? Like, I hate television except for, like, I like infomercials at Fox News at 3 a.m. or something.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, no, I mean, I think Speaks has a lot of talent. Everyone's really high on him. So, you know, he is the future of the outside linebacker opposite of Justin Houston, so I think you have to be high on him. He was essentially our first-round pick this year without having an actual first-round pick.
But you do that trade again. You're happy with Mahomes. You're happy that you gave up the pick for him. You didn't want one of these guys this year.
Yeah. No, I think it was time. I was sad to see Smith go, though, although I'm happy.
Are you
going to
be rooting for Smith or against him?
I'll be rooting for Smith. I mean, why not? It's not like the Redskins are in our division or anything.
Right, true. You don't play them this year.
No, and I rooted for Charles last year even when he was at Denver, so clearly that's more aligning with individual players.
Fair. And how are the Jayhawks? How's the actual Jayhawks, the basketball team, looking this coming year?
Oh, the basketball team. We'll probably
really hardcore listeners will remember that you were the Kansas Jayhawk back in the day. Right?
Yeah, 2 years ago, that was me. Yeah.
Yes.
Yep, I was one of the mascots at KU for a year.
Mm-hmm. He wasn't in the suit. He was just the mascot. All the girls were like, "Hey, look, he's so cute." Who's there? Is Mikaeliak still there? Who's like, who's good?
Mikaeliak? Who the hell is Mikaeliak?
I'm just saying his name wrong. You know what I'm talking about. The Eastern European guy.
I have Oh, Mikhailu.
Mikhailu, whatever, how you ever pronounce it.
He's actually with the Lakers now. He's LeBron's sidekick.
Okay, all right. Yeah, he's the number two guy. He's probably the second best player on the team.
Yeah, I don't know about that. But I think we're going to be really good. We have we're out of season, so I'm a little rough on names, to be perfectly
honest.
That's
fine. Is Graham back? He was your best player last year.
No, he was a senior. He's
on the
Hornets. Runner-up for National
he's
Player
the
of the
Hornets.
Year.
He
so.
Got drafted.
Yep.
Yeah, he's like mini Kemba.
I think we're going to be really good. I think we'll be preseason number one or two, just depending on what pool you look at.
Mm-hmm.
It should be a fun year. To be honest, I'm way more into football, so I'm like way more into KU football right now than I am KU basketball.
Were you the Jayhawk at football games also?
Yeah, it was year round, although it was early in the year, there were three of us, and then middle of the year during basketball season, it got whittled down to one of us, and that was when my life sucked. So,
wow. All right, well, now you're no longer a mascot. You're out in the real world crushing it.
Yep.
And thanks so much for your time, Cole. Maybe we'll speak to you if the Chiefs make it deep in the playoffs this year. If not, speak to you in August of 2019. Thanks so much, everyone. We'll be back tomorrow with, I don't know, another team. Who cares? Bye.
Awesome. Same bounce,
I don't know why they doubted us. When they bounced, they sold out on us. But day ones hated, but mama was so proud of us. They show malice to us, but the flow powerless. The ricochet commonly come from a low caliber. The hate you gave, no doubt I'm a thug. Devouring y'all in awe with the power of love. Brother, I'm back working, way they use it to gap worthless. Standing inside a cue while they shoot at a flat surface. Word on the street is to aim at your back turning. Came in the game to outsmart. smart, stupid, and sack serpents. Jake the snake in a ring, iron sheik with a turban, a fire breather, I'm burning, I find a reason to hurt him, word. Out in the street, they call it murder. I don't know what you heard, but you're just a burger, mini meal and nothing further. I got your star marksman clutching burners and pulling out, sniping hard, but bullets bouncing off a Clark Kent. Yeah, y'all can't get nothing through on us, motherfucker. Go ahead, take your shot. Do what you gonna do, come on. All of the distance they spittin' are so repetitive. Niggas are nescient, their knowledge is in the negative. Without a fuck to give about what it was supposed to be, nigga. They take lame aim and then fire through social media. Ignorant to the fodder, I oughta be out of faction. See, they ain't hold me back, y'all just look at the main attraction. They fucking haters debating on who's the best then. Again, I do believe it's easy just to press in. Maybe they poppin' off cause they wanna make an impression. The day they meet their maker, pray it may teach them a lesson. They outside looking in, trying to peep it. You blew it, I am new it. My serpents are few and secret. Decided to double diss them, leave them in disarray. I'm dwelling in oblivion, dummies, bullets will ricochet. And by the time you chime in, you're merely a critic. Everybody telling you how to do it, they never did. Niggas popping off, red rat you up, bull.